David Bowie on Radio 3 with Young Americans. It is 11:15. Seems like the music scene is switching around somewhat in this part of the world. Artists from overseas, London, Australia, particularly the States, are sort of wandering in to get their stuff airplay and sales and all sorts of stuff, because the feeling is the Asian music scene is somehow opening up. One such bloke is Ron Breesman, who joins me in the studio this morning. His label is called Fire Up Records. Ron, you're doing just that. You're doing the legwork right now.
That is correct.
Yeah? How's it going?
Well, going pretty good. We're getting a lot of hits from overseas markets, so that's why we're right over here promoting and trying to get Fire Rock on the map.
Right. Certainly the guys that are coming in to do the various gigs in town, even like the hotel gigs or clubs, pubs, whatever, the standard of musicians here is quite amazing these days. It seems like there is a focus on the Asian scene a bit more.
I feel the same way. I've seen a few groups since I've been in town, and I've really loved what I've been seeing, so this is one reason why we're focusing on this market.
Yeah. Small record companies, it must be quite tough for you, because certainly as late as 1997, there was a parallel import law which was chucked into place here, which basically tied one arm behind the back of the various record stores. They could only get this from this company and this from that company. As a small record company, how'd you get around that?
Well, what we try to do is just put our label and our music out there for those who are interested in listening and vibing from it. We've had a little bit of success, but of course there are some barriers that you have to overcome, and we do the best that we can.
Yeah, I bet you do. You got to be patient, haven't you?
That is for sure.
Yeah. So not just a producer, you're obviously a player yourself. What do you play?
Well, my primary instrument is saxophone. Oh, however, yeah. I do vocals, bass guitar, and a little keyboards.
Good enough. Who are your saxophone heroes? Don't say Kenny G.
Well, actually, I go back a little bit in time to people like Roland Kirk, Seal Austin, those type. Branton Marsalis says we get a little bit more current. So some of my heroes.
Okay. Well, what first got you interested in the Asian scene?
Well, I used to live in this part of the world many years ago, and of course, I've always loved the Asian scene. And as we've released this new CD, we've gotten a lot of play and a lot of hits from the Asian market. So, you know, not only here in Hong Kong,
Philippines,
but
also
Philippines, Bangkok. So, I've not been to the Hong Kong area in quite a few years, but I have some friends here, and that's why I'm in here now.
It's very different in the Philippines, and I'm sure you've noticed this because you're out and about doing your homework, but they are fanatic radio fiends. They love music.
Yes.
They're not really keen on listening to a lot of chit-chat, are they?
That's true.
They're absolute radio fans. So, well, let's have a listen to something from this album. The album's called Love, Oh Love, and I guess we should hear the title track. Anything you want to tell us about?
Love, Oh Love is a song that was written about one or two people who found each other and found love together, and then they fell in love, and it was a great love affair. I'm quite the romantic. We'll be right back.
Love, Oh, Love on Radio 3. That's the title track from Ron Breesman's new album, which is called Love, Oh, Love. That's why it's the title track. Ron, what's the formula for a hit? What would you say it is, if there is such a thing?
Oh, I don't know if there is such a formula, other than the fact that you find a large crowd that likes your music. Once you find that formula, then you get a hit.
There's always going to be a large crowd that likes your music, but it may not take it into the Billboard top 10.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there may be the sort of a certain demographic, if you like, a certain type of person that buys it up. I mean, bands like Queen, cult, you know,
right,
urban cult stuff, but they're never going to, these days, going to be in the top 10.
That's true.
I noticed you got a bit of sitar going on in there. Did you add that in for the Asian tour?
I did, just a little.
See, there's the formula coming up at you. Now, you've obviously grown up as a musician, play keys and sax, and you sing, but now you've got to put a tie on and go and knock on some doors. That goes against the grain somewhat, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a little different hat to wear. I'm trying to keep a good balance between the two because I love to actually work in the studio, but at the same time, there's the business side of records.
Yeah, how much these days do you think the musician has to become a businessman?
I think it's essential.
Yeah.
I think today's market requires that you have some business sense. There are a lot of talented musicians out there, and I think that the reason of success is failure lies between whether they can get their business savvy on or whether they cannot.
I wonder what's made that happen. I mean, could you imagine Jim Morrison as a businessman? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that would have been very difficult.
Exactly.
Exactly. And sometimes I would love to take the hat off and just get someone to put the tie on and that hat on and go do it, and I just remain in the studio. However, you know, you can only direct yourself as well as your direction in your mind will persist for you.
Absolutely. I think a lot of musicians would empathize with what you're saying just now. What's changed it? What's changed the music business? It's kind of got a bit cold and steely these days.
Well, I think it's been cold and steely all along. I think today what has changed is there are so many games and so many scams in the business that you have to really put that hat on of managing yourself, because if you don't, there are so many takers that will take you.
Well, I just mentioned Jim Morrison. Let's look back to the late 60s and, well, the 60s as a whole. If something got in the top 10, like the huge Motown company or the Beatles or anything like that, it would stay there. It wouldn't just be a five-minute wonder, in, out, make as much money as you can, and then, say, 3 or 4 months later, down the bottom. There was much more durability to the charts in those days. Again, why do you think it's not the same way these days?
Well, the market has changed quite a bit. Nowadays, instead of going to major labels, you know, there are so many labels just like myself. We're coming up small, and as we are able to facilitate our sound, we can merge into a larger listening audience. Back then, there were only the Motowns, the Epics, the Capitol Records, and you had to go to them to get your music out there. Now, if you have the business savvy, you can do just what I'm doing right now, making the rounds, putting on the tie and the hat, and doing the business.
So in the big picture, have the small record companies helped or hindered the music industry? Of course, you want to be successful.
Of course.
I'm not knocking that. But
yeah, I think that what has happened is we've kind of put a niche in the larger labels. I think that they are reorganizing right now because smaller labels now are finding a market niche. And with that, they're having to reorganize the way that they do business because here we are.
You come from Vegas, right?
That's correct.
Now, Vegas is really popular for some awesome cabaret acts.
Yes.
I remember meeting a promoter who came to Hong Kong with two huge, great big suitcases full of CDs. So, I mean, that's just an indication of what a dog-eat-dog scene it is. Any one of these guys is excellent.
That is true. Vegas is a dog-eat-dog scene, but it's kind of cliquish in its facet because of the fact that it's not so much how good your music is, it's more
business
who
again.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got to be good to stay in there, surely.
You got to be good, yeah. You have to have a product worthy.
Any thoughts on the internet's influence to the music business?
Well, I like the internet's influence because of the fact that, again, it gives the smaller labels like myself an opportunity. You know, internet radio, it gives us great opportunity to put our product out there, and we love it.
Yeah. So do you think you've kind of addressed every niche possible to you at the moment? That's what you're doing here in Asia.
That's what I'm doing here. No, I'm just now beginning to touched the surface of where I hope to end up, say, a year from now.
It must be fun, though.
It's fun, but it's very busy and very hectic because the way it works is when you're a small label and you don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars like the major labels to drop into some of the radio stations around the country and around the world to, say, make it a hit, you know. So we find that it's not so much that how good the music is, it's how far the funding will go that makes hits and not make hits.
Well, best of luck to you. Fire Rock Records, put a .com on the end of that, and you can find out much more about Ron. Let's have a bit of one more track. Just give me a track number here, would you, and I'll play some of it.
Track number two.
Let's see. Well, tell us about that.
Track number two is...
I'm going to roll it as you talk, so...
Okay, it's called Ready for Your Love.
Okay.
Actually, I wrote this tune after breaking up with my ex-wife, and now I'm ready for some new feelings.
Through song, Ron. Great to meet you. Thank you very much. That's Ron Breesman. Guys like that makes me realize what a lazy moron I actually am at heart.